Indeed, our God is great, isn't He? And I'm so thankful that God has revealed to us in His Word who He is, and that we can sing about His greatness. If you have your Bible this evening, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We've been studying through the book of Ruth here on Wednesday evenings, but as I was seeking the face of the Lord, I thought it appropriate this evening to preach a message, give a challenge, if you will, with regard to Scripture Assembly. And this is our annual assembly, and I've simply titled the thought this evening, the message, if you're taking notes, Why Scripture Assembly? Why Scripture Assembly? Why do we do it? And as many of you know, we as a church, Fellowship Baptist Church, we have placed an emphasis on the Scripture Assembly ministry. We've done that on purpose, and we have purposed to support the printing and distribution of gospel literature through Beacon of Truth. Brother Stroop is here this evening, and Brother Hummel, of course, the director, the founder of the ministry, God led him a number of years ago to begin this ministry by faith. And part of what they do, and really the beginning days just with gospel tracts, wanting to get literature put together. Now they do gospel tracts through full Bibles and getting that literature to missionaries on the mission field for the purpose of distribution. And of course, one of the things that they do, the way I was introduced to the ministry, was through exactly what we're doing over the next couple of days, where representatives from Beacon of Truth will go to a local church. They'll bring the equipment, which Brother Stroop didn't have to bring a whole lot of equipment this week. He was actually happy, and it was an easy trip for him, just had to bring the raw material. And they'll bring all the equipment, they'll show up at the church, and they'll be able to have a Scripture Assembly, and they'll begin to show folks. I remember the very first time I was ever introduced to it, and in Pennsylvania, and I remember watching Brother Dan Hummel stand up at the front of the church with a signature of Scripture, and he would show us how you tear it apart, and how you stick it together, and this is a task that anyone can do. That's what he said. From the youngest to the oldest, there's a job for you. And I remember looking at Holly. We had three small children at the time, and I said, we're going to be here for this. We're going to see what this is all about. And we went. Joseph at the time was about two and a half years old, and he stood next to Brother Dan Hummel at the cutting machine for almost the entire evening, helping Brother Hummel put those scriptures up on the cutting machine. And from that time until now, God has really burdened my heart. And of course, I told Brother Hummel at the time that God had called me to pastor. I didn't know where I'd be. I didn't know where God was going to lead us. But one of the things that I determined was that if God would allow me to pastor a church, that a Scripture Assembly ministry was something that I believe that our church should do. And so I remember 12 years ago coming here, and I remember the very first time I said, we're going to have a Scripture Assembly. And I had some folks look at me and say, what in the world is a Scripture Assembly? And now you're a bunch of pros, right? We do it all the time. We do it a couple of times a month. But I personally believe that every church, and I know Brother Stroop would agree with this wholeheartedly. Brother Hummel would say, would you put that in writing and send it to everybody? But I believe personally that every church should be involved at some level with a Scripture Assembly ministry. And I just believe that. I believe that not only is it enabling us to be able to participate in an aspect of the Great Commission, but the what it does for a church family, the opportunity to fellowship around the table as you're accomplishing an eternal task, putting together the Word of God that's going to be distributed, it's amazing. I speak to pastor friends regularly about a Scripture Assembly ministry. I encourage them. I've had a number of pastors from Northern Virginia that have come to our assemblies over the years that have been introduced to it for the purpose of helping them understand what we do. And so this year, obviously, this week will be our Scripture Assembly ministry, our emphasis with our annual ministry, where we have 2 days set aside, two sessions each day for the purpose of really focusing on putting the Scriptures together. But really, the thought this evening is why? Why should we do this? Why do we do this? Is it a situation that there's nothing else for us to do? There's no other thing that we can put on our calendar? We're bored? We don't know? No, that has nothing to do with it. In fact, there are plenty of things to do, but I believe that as we understand the vision and the perspective that the folks at Beacon have and what we're enabled to be a part of, we're accomplishing great things for God and what He is able to do. It's kind of like what Brother Cottle said a couple of weeks ago in your Sunday school hour, and I wasn't here, I was teaching the new member class, but he and I chatted about it both on Saturday evening and then again on Sunday afternoon. We are laborers together. And for a short period of time, over these next couple of days, we have an opportunity, spiritually speaking, to hold hands with Beacon of Truth and to accomplish something that has the potential of impacting eternity. Now, that's amazing. When I understand it that way, when you understand it that way, I say, listen, if there's something that I can do, that I can invest my time in, that can have an eternal impact, I want to know more about that. I want to be challenged about that. And so why Scripture Assembly? Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3. It's a familiar passage of Scripture this evening. I'm going to answer the question of why Scripture Assembly with really just two thoughts tonight. And I hope it would be an encouragement to you and a challenge to you. Many of you that are here this evening, you've participated in Scripture Assembly. You already have it on your schedule to be here. You wouldn't miss it. In fact, if I canceled Scripture Assembly, you'd try to fire me and find a new pastor, and I understand how that works. Some of you, you've never had the opportunity. You're newer to our church. Maybe your work schedule hasn't allowed it, and I totally understand, and you may not have the opportunity even in the next couple of days to participate, but I want you to have an understanding as to why we do this and why it is on our calendar regularly. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 14, notice the Bible says this, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Now, of course, you understand that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We'll see that in a couple of verses. Humanly speaking, the Apostle Paul is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, in this second letter that bears the name of 2 Timothy, and he's really given him a charge. We see that terminology in chapter number 4 specifically, but Paul knows that the time of his departure is at hand. He's encouraging Timothy, and he tells him to continue in verse number 14. And then in verse 15, he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." Aren't you thankful that God has given us His Word? And Paul here refers to the Old Testament as being the Holy Scriptures. That's what both Paul and Timothy would have had. In fact, we find that he refers to the Holy Scriptures, to the Bible, in verse number 13 of chapter number 4. He refers to it as the parchments. And we find that as we read God's Word, that there are a number of words or terms that are used to describe the Bible. In fact, in chapter number 4, he says not only the parchments, but in verse number 2, preach the Word. What's he talking about? The Holy Scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God. And we find that the Bible says in verse number 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." Now maybe tonight you're here and this would be true of you. For Timothy, it was true of him that from a child he knew the Holy Scriptures. I can't say for me that from a child I knew the Holy Scriptures. I was not raised in a Christian home. My parents did not teach me the Scriptures as a child. I'm not faulting them for that. It's just the way it was. But for some of you here this evening, from a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures. For some of us here this evening, we didn't get saved until later in life, and we didn't know Him from a child, but we understand now, as adults, as saved people, the extreme benefit of children learning at a young age the Holy Scriptures. And we want to raise our children that way. We want our children to raise their children that way. We want the kids in our church to be taught the Scriptures. Listen, when we have children's classes, when we have children's church, it's not game time. It's not like, let's just have a snack and play a game. No, we want to teach them the Bible because it's the Bible that's going to profit them, that's going to give them the instruction. Just a few weeks ago, we had our children's church program, and you had the opportunity to see firsthand the work that Jennifer and Lena do on a weekly basis of teaching the Bible to our children in that children's church ministry. Parents have the responsibility, but as a church, we don't want to just have game time for our young people. We want to teach them the Bible. Notice what he says in verse 15, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Aren't you thankful that the Bible teaches us about redemption? The Bible tells us about salvation. If you go to other sources, if you listen to other voices with regard to answering the question, where are you going to go when you die? You're not going to get the same answer. The Bible provides, and God has faithfully given us His Word. And Paul says to Timothy, you've known the Holy Scriptures from a child, and these Holy Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Now, this is a familiar passage of Scripture this evening, but if I could answer the question, and I'll look at this passage and one other, if I could answer the question this evening, why Scripture Assembly? Number one, and go to Acts chapter number one, if you will. Number one, the first reason that I would give you, and I could give you a whole lot of reasons. I'm going to give you two this evening. The first answer to the question of why Scripture Assembly is because of the command that's been given to us to reach the world with the gospel. We have been given a command. We often refer to it as the Great Commission. And we find that in the gospel accounts, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ gave the Great Commission, and we've been commanded. In fact, this past Sunday morning in our new member Sunday school class, I dealt with the subject of the Great Commission and personal evangelism. And I said this to those folks in that class, not only is it a responsibility, but it's a privilege. And really, when we look at the Great Commission as being a privilege that I'm allowed of God to be able to share the gospel, that really changes, that perspective changes our approach to it. But this evening, when I say, why Scripture Assembly? Because of the command to reach the world with the gospel. We've been given a command to reach the world with the gospel. Now, in of ourselves, that's a task that's impossible. But I'm thankful that God said He would be with us. He enables us, and I'm thankful that God gave us a plan for how we can labor together in order to accomplish the Great Commission. Now, working with Beacon of Truth and the Scripture Assembly ministry does not give us the, this is satisfying completely our responsibility with fulfilling the Great Commission, but I would submit to you this evening that it is an avenue that allows us to accomplish what God has commanded us to do. Look at Acts in chapter 1 and verse number 8. We're familiar with the Great Commission. Notice what the Bible says here. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to the disciples before He ascended to heaven. He's already gone to the cross. He's resurrected from the dead. He's giving some final instruction before He would ascend to heaven. In fact, in just a few verses beyond what we'll read this evening, you read of that ascension and also the wonderful promise that Jesus will come again, and what a joy that is. But notice in verse number 8, the Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I'm thankful that we don't go in our own power. We go in the power of the Holy Ghost. And it says, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Notice that word both. Do you see it there in your Bible? It's an important word. And he says both, and then he's going to list these regions in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. Now that's a task that the Lord Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, assigned to His church. And in giving this assignment, this command, this great commission, we find that He said that we're to do this. He says, you're to be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. They understood what Jerusalem was. They understood Judea. That's a broader area. They understood Samaria. By the way, it was a place that the Jews avoided. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ in John 4 said, I must needs go through Samaria, the woman at the well in John chapter number 4. Many Jews would go around Samaria, even at their own, really taking them longer and more laborious. They would go around because of some prejudice and other things going on. But God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, and Samaria, don't forget about Samaria, and then he says the uttermost part of the earth. But that word both, it really carries with it the idea, and what's being communicated is that we're to do all of this at the same time. If we would use an analogy this evening of looking at this geographic area that is spoken of in Acts 1 and verse number 8 to the disciples before the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would find that they would understand those local regions as I've just discussed them. But for us this evening, it's as if the Lord is saying to us, we're to reach Oakton. That's where we are. That's where our lighthouse is, so to speak. And this is our Jerusalem right here in Oakton, Virginia, Northern Virginia, the Fairfax County. This is our Jerusalem. But then he says Judea. So you can just broaden out. We could speak about Virginia as our state having a responsibility. You can go beyond to Samaria, and you can look at even further borders, and then you could go to the uttermost part. You can say, okay, so we have the responsibility, the command has been given that we are to be reaching Oakton at the same time that we're reaching the uttermost. How do we do that? Well, one avenue that God has given us that allows us to be able to fulfill the command that God has given us is Beacon of Truth in the Scripture Assembly ministry. We often are doing Scripture Assembly, as we do it regularly here, that are in the Spanish language, and they're going to Latin American countries where they speak Spanish. Many of them are going to Mexico, but we know that we've had some go to Guatemala. We've had some in Honduras. In fact, the VCs were with us just a little while ago, and they shared with us some pictures of their church putting together gospel tracts, folding them that were from Beacon of Truth. And we find that these portions of Scripture that we have the opportunity to put together, we have as a local church over the years, we've done some that went to Canada. We've done some that have gone to Kenya. We've done a lot that have gone to Mexico. And there are other countries. And I want you to understand that as we have an opportunity to support financially, but also to be able to do the work, the labor, then we're fulfilling an aspect of this Great Commission. And we're putting, I love when Brother Hummel makes that statement, I know Miss Laureen, she talks about it often as well, that every one of those scriptures that we're tearing apart and we're putting together, in a certain sense, our DNA is on that scripture. Now, I understand during COVID, that was a bad thing to talk about because all of this, man, you're putting germs on things and so on and so forth. But in a very real sense, I mean, you think about it, that you have the opportunity to put those scriptures together, to hold them in your hands, put them together that are going to go to another place, oftentimes to a people that have never heard that Jesus saves. They've never heard that the Lord Jesus Christ died for them and paid for their sin in full so that they could go to heaven. I've had the privilege, I should show it again, maybe actually on Sunday afternoon, I'll talk to Brother Hummel about maybe trying to incorporate that. I put a PowerPoint together after I went to Mexico. And Brother Stroop was our soul winning partners in Mexico. And neither one of us, Brother Armando, speak a lick of Spanish, but we were out there together, amen, and trying to get the word of God to the lost people. But you know what's amazing? We'd pass out those scriptures. Brother Stroop, he'll tell you, I'm telling you, I promise you, we would pass out scriptures and we'd get to the end of the street or wherever we got to, you look back and you could find people that were reading them. They weren't just discarding them, they were reading them. The entrance of thy word giveth light, Psalm 119 and verse 130. So why Scripture Assembly? Because we've been commanded to reach the world, and God has provided us with an opportunity to partner with a ministry that is printing the Word of God in languages to go all over the globe, and we can partner with them and thus have an aspect of fulfilling part of the Great Commission. Now, we partner with other missionaries that are on the ground, that are planting churches, that are, and that's certainly part of fulfilling the Great Commission. But I'm thankful for this avenue that God has given us in order to fulfill our God-given responsibility. And so, why Scripture Assembly? Because of the command that has been given to us to reach the world with the gospel. Why Scripture Assembly? Number two, because of the content of God's Word. Back in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, the portion that I read by way of introduction, when I understand the content of this book, then I understand that I should be desiring that all people would have access to this book. You know, it breaks my heart that there are people around the globe that do not have access to a Bible. Can you imagine tonight if you didn't have a Bible? Can you imagine? I mean, sometimes, and I want to be careful how I say this, but sometimes if we're not careful, we can have a critical view of someone that worships some false deity. They worship some idol. We say, why would they do that? Maybe you would too if you didn't have a Bible. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe we'd be worshiping an idol too if someone didn't give us the Bible. And this evening, when I understand and when you understand the content of God's Word, it ought to stir us up to desire that other people would have access to the Bible, that they would have the opportunity to read the same truth that you find so precious. That you have the opportunity, if you're like me, I have various Bibles. I have this Bible that I preach from. I have a Bible on my in my bedroom that I read from when I do devotions over there. I have another Bible in my office. I have a New Testament that I hold. I have a Bible that I take when I'm doing funerals and weddings that's a smaller profile type of a Bible. I have it on my phone, on my iPad. I have it available. I read a story years ago about a people group that a man was exposed to the truth of God's Word, but they did not have it available in their language. And he was pleading and begging that they would send the Bible to them. And he went through a series of, if you can't send all of it, send this portion. And if you can't send that portion, send this portion. And ultimately, as he got down to the end of it, if you can't send anything more than John 3:16, please send John 3:16. But listen, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I'm thankful for John 3:16, but I'm thankful that God gave us all of it. Amen? And this evening, when I understand the content, listen, he says in verse number 15, we've read it a moment ago, that the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. If we didn't have the Bible, we wouldn't know that Jesus is the only way. If we didn't have the Bible, we wouldn't know that God loves me, that God loves you. We would not know all of these things that we know about God. All year we've spent as our theme, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. But all of those things that we know about God are revealed to us through His precious Word. You say, well, Pastor, Psalm 19 says the heavens declare the glory of God. It's true that they do, that there is a Creator. But if you only have creation and you don't have the Word, by the way, Psalm 19 begins with the heavens declare, but when you get to verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. Yes, God gives the witness of Himself through creation, but He's also given His Word. And we have the opportunity through working with Beacon of Truth, through Scripture Assembly Ministry, we have the opportunity to get the Bible that is so precious to us into the hands of other people. I remember hearing a missionary say this: what would you want somebody to do for you if you didn't have the truth, but they did? Now think about that just for a moment. If we didn't have the truth, but somebody else did, Wouldn't we want them to obey God? Want them to do whatever, pay the price, the cost, whatever it was, in order to get the truth to us? I think we would. The missionary went on to say, then what are we doing to get the message to those that do not have it? And this evening, I want to encourage you to be part of the Scripture Assembly ministry. I know, again, that many of you are. We do it regularly. But I don't want to lose sight as to why we do it. Listen, yes, it's good fellowship, but it's more than good fellowship. It's more than good fellowship. Yes, there's good times around the table and encouraging one another, but we're handling the precious Word of God. Amen. That's going to go to somebody. Listen, someone is going to get that Scripture, and they're going to read it. And we pray that the Holy Spirit of God would work in their hearts and convict them of their sin and of Christ's righteousness and of judgment to come, and that they would be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And so we have an opportunity. Maybe just three quick thoughts, and then we'll close and we'll pray together this evening. But maybe we speak about Scripture Assembly. Why Scripture Assembly? Maybe you can help with funding the ministry. Every scripture booklet that we put together cost 15 cents. Is that still the cost? 15 cents. And so we put together scriptures. We do, we did 5,000 scriptures. Well, that's 15 cents times 5,000. That's what it cost. The labor was free, Brother Don, us slave masters and taskmasters, as you call us. The labor's free, but it costs money to produce the scriptures. So 15 cents per scripture, that's what it cost. So when we do 100,000 scriptures a year, that's a goal. That's $15,000. It's what it costs us as a ministry to be able to do that. Maybe you can volunteer your time. You know, it's a blessing. And sometimes we joke, Brother Don and I and others, he'll say, now listen, you staplers, you stick around, we're going to double your pay, because the staplers are always the last ones here, right? And the reality is no one's getting paid to do it. It's a labor of love. We want to put these scriptures together. We're giving of ourselves. We're giving of our time. And again, from the youngest to the oldest, we have pictures, Brother Pierre, of Natalie when she was just a little tot with a little stroller with a Canadian, an English scripture with a Canadian flag, as she's pushing that little cart, moving scriptures from one station to another. We've had little kids in our church for years now that have been doing it. And then they start getting to be teenagers, and man, they're well-trained. And now Natalie and Zachary and others, we're able to task them with other things, not just running, because they've been doing it and doing it. What a blessing. Amen. Maybe we can do both. Help financially, but also give of our time. And this evening, I'm simply saying, why Scripture Assembly? Pastor, why do we do it? We do it twice a month. We have these guys come in. Why? Well, because of the command that God's given us. He's told us that we're to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And this ministry gives us an avenue by which we can accomplish partially that task of preaching the gospel to every creature, of getting the truth distributed. Why? Why Scripture Assembly? Because of the content of this book. Listen, I love the Bible. I preached about that on Monday night. Oh, how love I thy law at the Bible conference. I preached that message there and just tried to encourage those folks. I love the Bible, and I believe that just as the Bible's made a difference in my life, it can make a difference in other people's lives. And I want other people to have the opportunity to have it. I understand that it's just a portion of Scripture that we're giving. But then we also send Bibles so that the missionaries, after those people get the portions of Scripture and get saved, they're able to have a whole Bible so they can be given the whole counsel of God. What a blessing to partner with such a ministry. I hope this evening, again, I could give you so many other reasons, but I hope tonight that we have a renewed vision as to why do we do this? Why is it that we would try to carve out time on our schedule, not only every other week as a church locally, but to have these guys travel in to be here with us and to set aside this time. I think God's pleased with it. I think it honors the Lord. And I'm thankful that we have an opportunity to do it. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the privilege of being able to serve you. I thank you for Brother Hummel and, Lord, the vision that you gave him, the burden so many years ago to print and distribute your word, sending the word of God around the world. Lord, I thank you for their vision and for their ministry. I thank you for allowing our paths to cross so many years ago and allowing us as a local church to be able to be involved in this ministry and helping us to fulfill the responsibility that you've given us as a local church to reach the world with the gospel, and this being one avenue, one opportunity to help us in fulfilling that responsibility. I thank you for the content of your word, and Lord, I think of all that I know about you and how I've learned it through your word, and yes, the entrance of thy words giveth light. Lord, I pray that as we understand how precious this book is, that we'd have a greater burden to desire that others would also have your word. God, I thank you that our church family loves this ministry and participates in this ministry. And I pray, God, that we would be faithful. Lord, that we would have the opportunity to give, to help continue to provide the resources that are necessary to be able to provide these scriptures to these missionaries free of charge. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to continue to have the strength to give of our time in order to be able to do the work. I pray that over these next couple of days, Lord, of ministry, that you would be honored and glorified, that you'd help us to accomplish much. I pray the fellowship would be sweet, but God, I pray that ultimately, as we have an opportunity through this ministry to impact eternity, I pray that these scriptures, as they're assembled and eventually distributed on the mission field, that souls would be saved and that lives would be changed. And Lord, I pray that you alone would be glorified. Well, thank you for all that you'll do. We pray for the time of prayer. We thank you that we can have corporate prayer. And Lord, I thank you that you're a God who hears and answers prayer. And I pray that you'd bless our time tonight. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Does anyone need a prayer bulletin? You didn't get